we pursue faithfulness to You, to depend on Christ more and more day by day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bible this morning to Hebrews chapter 4 is where we're going to be, and as you're turning there, I want to share a story with you. On August 1st of this year, we're talking about less than a month ago, in Pakistan, a mob of angry Muslim extremists attacked Christians in the Punjab province, killing at least 8 believers, including a 7-year-old child. Dozens of homes and a church building were looted and burned. Reports indicate the violence resulted from rumors that Christians had desecrated pages from the Quran several days earlier at a wedding in a nearby village. This was the second attack because of such rumors, and rumors were all they were. On July the 30th, Muslim extremists attacked Christians, burning more than 50 homes and animals in Korean village. In both attacks, Muslim leaders encouraged the violence, using mosque loudspeakers to call on the faithful to defend Islam. According to witnesses, the attackers used a kind of fuel that's particularly difficult to extinguish when they set those fires. Government officials actually condemned the attacks with unusual severity and have criticized security forces for their slow response. They said there was no truth to the allegations of blasphemy and promised to rebuild the destroyed homes and financially assist those who have had family members, have lost family members in the violence. Recent reports estimate that over 200 have been arrested for their involvement in the violence, and yet 8 are dead. We had the opportunity, several of us last night, to go over to visit with some brothers and sisters of all of ours at Open Arms Ministries. They meet right up there above McDonald's, up just up the hill there. And we were able to hear from a speaker, from the Voice of the Martyrs. And in this particular case that we just mentioned, the Voice of the Martyrs is providing assistance to believers that were affected by this attack. They actively support persecuted believers in Pakistan by giving them just things to meet their physical needs. They smuggle Bibles in and other Christian books. And they also minister to the families of those left behind. Pray for the families of deceased believers. Pray for those who lost their homes. Pray for those who lost their church. And ask God to provide and encourage them. Pray that false accusations by Muslims will draw believers closer to the Lord, and for their faithfulness to draw non-believers into faith in Christ. That's something of what challenges our brothers and sisters' faith in Pakistan this morning. But right here in LJ, what challenges your faith today? Probably nothing like that, right? But maybe it's a real struggle in these times with greed or covetousness. Maybe it's a struggle with despair because you've lost your job or things are very tight financially. Maybe it's the pain of a broken relationship that just seems like it can never be mended. Maybe it's an enslavement to a particular sin that just regularly takes you down. This morning, as we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 16, we're going to find the key to faithfulness to our Savior. Now, you know, whether you're in Pakistan trying to stand for Christ in the face of persecution and even death, or whether you're in America right here in LJ struggling with greed or struggling against something else, struggling with despair, whatever it is, we are called to be faithful to Jesus. Amen. We sung about what all He's done for us this morning. And how can we do anything else but be faithful to the One that's called us and rescued us by His mercy? in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Nothing in all creation can hide from Him. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes. This is the God to whom we must explain all that we've done. That is why we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us cling to Him and never stop trusting Him. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for He faced all the same temptations we do, yet He did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it." God will help us live faithfully when we ask Him. He's called us to live faithfully, and He'll help us to live faithfully. It's, you know, that's true, again, of our brothers and sisters in Pakistan and other countries where the church is persecuted. But it's true for you, and it's true for me. God will help us to live faithfully for Him when we ask Him. This morning, we're talking about prayer in short. And in calling out to God to help us. And I want you to see this morning three truths about asking God for help to live faithfully. First of all, I want you to see this. You and I should ask God for help to live faithfully every day. Well, you might be thinking, well, that's kind of obvious. Or maybe you're thinking, why? Why do I need to ask God for help to live faithfully? Can't I just do my best and live faithfully for Him? Well, the problem with that is who we are, right? And the struggle we have doing that. You see, according to these verses, God sees us just as we are. For the Word of God is full of living power. Now, this is a statement about Scripture. The Word of God, your Bible, is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. And it exposes us for what we really are. Do you really want to know who you are? Do you really want to see who you are before God and how God sees you? By the way, the only thing that matters in all of the world is what God thinks and what God says about who you are, ultimately. Doesn't matter what you think about yourself. Doesn't matter what someone else thinks about you. But what does matter is what God thinks, because you see, as we stand before His Word, it exposes us for what we really are, and nothing in all creation can hide from Him. I can't hide from Him. You can't hide from Him. And everything about me and everything about you is naked and exposed before His eyes. The other thing, like I'm even often tempted to do, do you ever think that you've got something hidden? Do you have any secrets? Well, just for the record, some of you do, and all of us do, and here's the thing. We do real well to keep them hidden from one another. Some of them, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. And I won't tell you. Some of mine. But you know what? There's someone who sees and knows all our secrets. God. And that's why we must ask God for help to live faithfully every day. Listen, He sees us just as we are. He knows our struggles with sin. He knows that we can't live faithfully every day without Him. We, as it were, stand naked and exposed before His eyes. We need to ask Him for help because we need it. But secondly, we will have to answer to God for all that we have done. Greg, we talked about judgment in Sunday school this morning, and we're going to talk about it again next Sunday. That is a plug for 10 o'clock Bible study. We learn a lot in Bible study at 10 o'clock, and we get together in God's Word and learn a lot. So this week we talked about judgment in general, people, just the whole world being judged. Next week, I think I'm on the right track here. We're going to talk about judgment for believers. That's you and me. So be there. We fill up room this morning, but we can fill it up more next week. We will have to answer to God for all that we have done. Hebrews 13, or 4:13, this is the God to whom we must explain all that we have done. That's true for all of us. And that's another reason why we should ask God for help to live faithfully every day. We're going to have to answer to Him. And left ourselves, left just as we are, we don't do real good being faithful to Him. But the passage doesn't stop there. Jesus is our everlasting defense attorney. We need to ask God to help us be faithful every day because of who we are. He sees us. He knows us. We're going to have to answer to Him for all that we do. But the encouraging truth in verse 14 is that Jesus is our everlasting defense attorney if we trust in Him. Hebrews 4:14 says, that is why we have a great high priest who's gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us cling to Him and never stop trusting Him. What the author of Hebrews is saying here is because He knows us just like we are, and because we're going to have to stand before Him one day, in mercy and grace, God saved us from His own judgment when He gave us Jesus. Amen? God is going to call us to account. But while we were still sinners, God loved us and He sent Christ to die for us. And so we have a high priest. We have an intercessor who's gone to heaven, Jesus the Son of God. And so the author of Hebrews says, let us cling to Him and never stop trusting Him. Let us every day be asking Him for help. Let us be praying and crying out to Him to help us. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Our only hope before God, our only connection to God is through Jesus alone. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Says, but if you do sin, there is someone to plead for you before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one, and by the way, the only, who pleases God completely. We have an advocate. We have a defense attorney, as it were, and He'll always be there pleading our case to the Father. Again, from Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it's not on the screen. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. You see, it matters how we try to get to God. Talked about this in Sunday school as well this morning. All kinds of paths. But you know what Jesus said about all those other paths with the exception of Him? There's a wide gate, and many go that way, and they end up in destruction. The way to God is through a narrow gate. It's so narrow. In fact, there's only one name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. And His name is Jesus. It matters. But in Christ, there's certain salvation. Hebrews 7, verse 24 says, Jesus remains a priest forever. His priesthood will never end. You know, the earthly priests back in the Old Testament, they lived for 70, 80 years and they died, right? Even the great, even the high priest of that day, they were short-term, they were temporary. Jesus will never cease to be our priest. Therefore, He is able, once and forever, to save everyone who comes to God through Him. He lives forever to plead with God on their behalf. Isn't that awesome? That's the salvation we've got. That's the Savior we have. It's the heart of that song that we start with. My Savior lives. My Savior loves. My Savior's always there for for me. Not just there for me to talk to, but there talking for me to the Father. Pleading my case for me. Hebrews 4:14, read a while ago here from the Message translation. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. And yet, you know what you and I do? I mean, I'm just guessing about you, but I'm telling you about me. You know what we typically do day by day? We let what we have slip through our fingers. We let the access to God, the availability of help to be faithful to God, just slip through our fingers. You say, Chad, how do you do that? What do you mean? I didn't know I was doing that. Well, let me just ask you, is your prayer life all that you would guess it should be? What I'm saying is, do you pray as much as you think you need to? Right. I don't either. And you know what we're doing when we don't cry out to God, when we don't cling to Him? We're letting it slip through our fingers, this availability of help that we have in Jesus Christ. Robert Murray M'Cheyne said this, thinking back just for a second to Hebrews 7. If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Can you imagine hearing Jesus praying for you? Can you just imagine that He was in that little office back there and He was praying for you, and you could sneak up to the door and just listen and hear Him asking the Father to be with Sharon. God, help Sharon today with that situation she's facing. God help Betty. God help Susan. God help Terry and Mike and all of us. Can you imagine hearing Jesus say your name in prayer to God? Wouldn't that be awesome? And if you could hear that, you know what? You'd go out that door today and, man, you'd be ready to face the world. You'd be able to be ready to go head-to-head with that sin that you struggle with. Jesus prayed for you. You heard it. And you could tackle that thing. You wouldn't let it whip you today because Jesus prayed for you. That relationship that you're struggling in. You know, you go and you'd be like Christ would be in that relationship. You'd forgive, or you'd ask for forgiveness, or whatever the need was. You'd get it right because Jesus, you heard Him. He prayed for you. And Shane says this, yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. And you know what the real truth of that is? I paint that picture and we all think and pretend that if we could just really hear Him with our physical ears, then it would make a difference how we live. But you know what Jesus told the people who said they wanted to see something miraculous like that happen? You know what He told them? He said, you got the Bible, basically, is what He told them. And right here in the Bible, Jesus tells you, God tells you that Jesus is praying for you. And the fact is, if that doesn't motivate you and I to cling more tightly to Christ, and go in His strength into our day and into our week. And you know what? If He was in that office back there and we could sneak up and listen, it wouldn't motivate us anymore. You and I should ask God for help to live faithfully every day. And we should pray with an open Bible. Why? One of the first verses you read this morning. Because this book does what? Exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It shows us who we really are. God shines the spotlight on us and begins to change us. But secondly, this morning, I want you to see this. God wants to help us when we ask to be faithful to Him. You and I can ask God for help knowing that Jesus understands where we are. He really gets what you're facing. Hebrews 4, verse 15. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. And also back in Hebrews 2, verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore it was necessary for Jesus to be in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters,
so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. In other words, if he didn't come in a human form and live in our skin, so to speak, and walk in our shoes, then how could he really be merciful and really understand who we were and truly be our substitute? He then, though, because he did that, could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and temptation, he is able to help us when we are being tempted.
On August the 16th, what is that, 14 days ago? In India, Pastor John Quadros was attacked and harassed by Hindu extremists while visiting a home to pray for a sick believer. The pastor was accused of forcible conversion, questioned, and told to inform officials of any future prayer activities. The extremists threatened to attack him if they heard of further prayer meetings. The Voice of the Martyrs asks us to pray that increased persecution in India will result in increased boldness among Christians. Isn't that amazing? Ask God to work in the hearts and lives of Hindu extremists so that they will turn to Him. Pray that believers will remain faithful to God, and courageous. You know, Jesus understood what Pastor John Quadros went through when he was going through it. And when that pastor was praying and his church was praying for him as he was arrested and interrogated and all sorts of things, Jesus understood it because he's been there. He went through suffering, didn't he? In fact, Jesus said, you know why the world will hate you? Because it hated me. You need to understand. He said, I want you to know so you don't falter. The world hates me and it's going to hate you if you love and follow and obey me. It's happening in India. It's happening in Pakistan. Folks, it's going to happen right where we live if it's not already in your life. To whatever degree. In Hebrews 2, verse 15, it says, we don't have a priest. We got that on over here? Nope, we don't. In Hebrews 2:15, it says, from the Message, we don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing. He's experienced it all but the sin. We've got a high priest this morning, Jesus, who knows exactly where we live. And for you, if it's a struggle with just the things we mentioned earlier as examples, and it's by no means exhausted, if it's a struggle with grief, you know what? Jesus was tempted by grief. If it's a struggle with despair, don't you think that in those moments before his crucifixion, or even as he hung on the cross, when his Father turned his back on him, don't you know that he struggled with despair? Being so lonely and forsaken and feeling like he was thrown away. Don't you know that he knows what you feel in that moment? Whatever the struggle is today, he's been there. And you and I can ask God for help knowing that Jesus understands where we are. The last thing I want you to see this morning is that you and I can ask God for help boldly and expectantly because of Jesus. Hebrews 4, verse 16, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it. Do you know why we don't sometimes get the help that we need? Now this is complicated, so please stay awake and stay with me. Because we just don't ask. We don't go to the throne of our gracious God. And the author of Hebrews in this whole passage is saying this, listen, remember the Savior you have
who is your great high priest, who's your intercessor, who's there for you with the Father right now, and go boldly to the throne. And when you go, it's the throne of our, what? Gracious God. What does that mean? Does that mean He wants to help or He doesn't? He loves to give you what you need, or He wants to be stingy and hold it back? He wants to pour it out. He's a loving Father. He's a gracious God. Again, in Romans chapter 8, I believe it is, Paul says, you know, He didn't spare His own Son, but fully gave Him up for us all. He gave you Jesus. Sent Him to the cross to die. 3 days dead in the grave. Rose again for you. And yet, in your life today, Paul says, don't you think, along with Him, He'll freely give you all this. He'll give you the help you need. He'll supply whatever it is. Just the endurance, the patience, the peace, the love, the ability to forgive, the contentment in your circumstances, whatever it is. If He gave you Jesus, don't you think He wants to give you that? Paul reasons from the greater to the lesser. In other words, if He gave you Christ, it's no big deal for Him to give you that, whatever that day's need is. We will receive His mercy. And we will find grace to help us when we need it. And I don't know about you, but those whens are often in my life.
Amen.
Often. Daily. Many times a day. And yet every time I need, I can go boldly to the throne. We read it earlier, but Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 23. And so, dear friends, we can come, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Now, you just need to remember what that means, how huge that is. We forget it. We take it for granted. In the Old Testament, in the temple there in Jerusalem, the most holy place, who had access? Everybody? All those Israelites? Because they used to get up on the Sabbath morning and just march right into where the Ark of the Testament was and where God's Shekinah glory dwelt. Can they do that? Absolutely not. They die on the spot. Why? Because they were sinful and God is holy. And what this is saying is that in the temple, in heaven, because of the blood of Jesus, you and I can boldly just march right in to where God is and talk to Him. Even though we are sinners and unholy, Christ, the blood of Christ opens up the way. That's why we come to the table every Sunday. This is the new life-giving way that Christ opened up for us through the curtain that by means of His death for us, that has to do with His body being broken. That's what the bread here is. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting Him. By the way, at some point in my prayer life and yours, you know why we don't pray? You know what our problem in prayer is? Unbelief. We don't, with all our hearts, fully trust Him. We don't believe this stuff that we're talking about this morning. And so we don't go. But we need to be reminded, as the rest of the verse text goes on, for our evil consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. How does the Father see you if you trust in Christ as your Savior? Even right after you blow it, He sees you sprinkled clean by the blood of Christ. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. You know what? Our prayer life sometimes, my prayer life sometimes looks like I think God's promises are a joke. Right? Because if I really believed the promises today in a given situation, then I would call out to Him for help. I believe I've got that evidence. I believe that Christ, His broken body and shed blood, has opened up the door and I can charge right into where my Father is and talk to Him and say, hey, Dad, Abba, I need help. And I believe what you said, that Jesus gave me this entrance and access to you, and I believe that your love demonstrated in Christ says that you want to help me in this situation. So here I am in a heap of trouble, and I need help.
We pray like that. Say, Chicken, you really pray? Absolutely. That's the way we ought to pray. That's boldly going in, like we read a while ago. Again, Hebrews 4:16 from a different translation. So whenever we're in need, we should come bravely before the throne of our merciful God. There we will be treated with undeserved kindness, and we will find help. It's kind of like this story. It's a true story. A young man was sitting on a park bench, bawling, just crying. And a little boy saw him, and he came up to the young man, and he said, "Sir, what's wrong, sir? Sir, what's wrong?" And the little boy was very troubled by this grown man crying. And the man told the little boy the story about his own brother who was in prison. His brother was on death row and was going to be executed in the next few days. The man desperately wanted to see the President of the United States and ask for a pardon. But of course, regular people can't just walk right into the president's office and talk to him. The man was hopeless, and yet after hearing the man's story, the little boy said, "Sir, would you come with me?" Well, man, young man didn't have anything to lose, didn't have anywhere to go, couldn't go see the president, so he thought, might as well. And the boy took the man by the hand. And they walked a few blocks and up the beautiful lawn and straight through the front door into the presidential office, through the guards, past the secretary, and nobody said anything. Man couldn't believe it. He couldn't have gotten into the White House to see the president if he tried all his life. And this little boy was taking him straight in past all of the security. As the young man entered the president's office with the little boy, President Lincoln stood up and he looked at the boy and he said, "How can I help you, son?" You see, the reason the man could get into Abraham Lincoln's office is because he ran into Abraham Lincoln's son. And the son could march right in, unlike anybody in the nation, anytime he wanted. Jesus has given us that access. And if you have Christ, you are a son. You are a daughter. Not of a president. In what one day will be seen as a small country that passed, but in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you can call him Daddy. From the Amplified Bible, Hebrews 4, verse 16, "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, the favor we don't deserve, in other words. That's where we find it. That we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it." You and I can ask God for help boldly and expectantly because of Jesus. You see, God will help us live faithfully when we ask Him. A month and 4 days ago, on July the 26th, in Nigeria, 12 Christians were killed, including 3 pastors, after members of the Islamic extremist group Boko Haram launched attacks. Churches were set ablaze and several people were abducted, including Christians. Many believers were threatened with death if they refused to convert to Islam. According to media reports, assailants beheaded three pastors, Pastors Sabo Yakubu, Sylvester Akpan, and Pastor George Orjai. The assailants were reportedly acting on the instruction of the extremist group's leader, Muhammad Yusuf. The militants attempted to force the pastors to convert to Islam, but they refused to abandon their faith. You know what that? You know how it translates into this message this morning? They were faithful to God. And you bet they asked God to help them be faithful, and guess what? He did. They were then beheaded by guards who shouted, "Allah Akbar." Basically, Allah is the true God and is the one and only God. And then they fired several gunshots into the air in celebration. These recent reports of persecution in northern Nigeria reflect the trials that believers endure today. Again, the voice of the martyrs supports persecuted believers. It's amazing what they do. They're very, at points have to be very clandestine and secretive, but they're able to get to where not many people can go and provide help. Resources for widows, even like the wives of these pastors that are left behind, to start their own businesses, to get some education. Pray that God will comfort the families of those killed in these attacks. Pray that the peace of Christ will rule the hearts and minds of Nigerian Christians in the face of ongoing threats and danger. All three of these stories I've shared with you this morning came off of a website called persecution.com. www.persecution.com. You can check it out. And on there are regular prayer updates, things that are happening within the last few weeks that you can know about and pray about for the persecuted church. As we were there last night, listening to Robert Brock talk about his experiences with the persecuted church. And by the way, he's met people like we're talking about. He's met the widows of Christians and pastors who've been martyred for their faith in Christ. One of the things that he said that stood out to me was this: the message of the persecuted church. What do you think it is? What do you think they would say? What do you think the persecuted church speaks loudest, that is, to all of us today? What do you think their message is? Stay faithful? That's a good guess. Jesus is most important. Stay faithful to Jesus. Absolutely. They exhibit and exemplify all of that. You know what he said their message is? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness to the ones that persecuted them. And you know, you go back to Scripture. We're never more Christ-like than when we are able, as Jesus Himself did on the cross, to look at those who were killing Him and say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's the message of the persecuted church. He said, "Chad, I'm having a hard time bringing together the persecuted church, all these crazy things that you said are going on in the world, all these amazing suffering that people like us are dealing with in their own countries. I'm having a real hard time getting that from there back to LJ where I live and get up and go to work and don't deal with any of that. Is that where you're at? Is it hard today?" Well, here's the deal. It's real simple. It's hard to imagine that, don't get me wrong, but here's the connection. If God can answer to the prayers of the persecuted church and answer to your prayers for the persecuted church, can make three pastors, or if they were in Nigeria, be faithful even to death, don't you think that if you'll ask, that if I'll ask, that little temptation I'm struggling with, that opportunity to stand for Christ where I might be embarrassed, and I'm not stood because I'm afraid I will be embarrassed, don't you think God can help us with that and make us stand faithful in those situations? Two reasons I share the persecuted church with you this morning. First,
They are your family. And here's the deal. We're all backwards in America. We're so screwed up in America as Christians.
I came to church this morning to hear that again.
The deal is this, though, guys. We're the exception in this world. We're the exception in church history that we don't suffer like they do. So here's the deal. Pray for me. Give.
Stuff on the back table, I want you to take a look at if you have the opportunity, you have the time. There's a couple of magazines back there. I've got these two and two just like them in the back. That's all I got. Take a look at them. But the way you can get this mail to your house for free is there's some cards like this. There's a total of this one and three more that you can actually put a stamp on and mail. But there's also some photocopies that you can fill out and put in an envelope and mail. So if you want to do that, awesome way to pray. But the second thing is just to contrast where we live and to realize that God can make them faithful, hate to make us faithful. This morning as we come to the Lord's Supper, we come to celebrate Christ who intercedes for us right now and gives us the certain hope of help from God to live faithfully when we ask. And this morning as you come to the table, I want you to ask God to help you deal with whatever it is that threatens your faithfulness to Him this morning. But you know, we also come and celebrate our unity with the persecuted church. They're simply people like us. They're our brothers and sisters. They're our family. And we'll spend eternity with them in the presence of Jesus. And when we talk about them and when we celebrate at the table our unity with them, you know what we're doing? We're being obedient to Scripture. In Hebrews 13, verse 3, it says, "Don't forget about those in prison. Suffer with them as though you yourself were there. Share the sorrow of those being mistreated as though you feel their pain in your own bodies." This morning as we pray, just before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I want you to do something different this morning. You up for it? It's not going to hurt. And we're all going to be doing it, so therefore there's no embarrassment. Okay? We saw a picture last night of some persecuted believers who made this gesture while they prayed. Can you do that? One hand lifted. Sign of prayer to God. That's just you're reaching up to God in prayer. And then your hand on your throat like this, like you're fixing to choke yourself. It symbolized their desire to live faithfully to God, even if they had the choking hand die. And they would pray like that. They would bow their heads, and every time they prayed, this is the way they prayed. Because in their world, it was a reality. You know, I don't know if we'll ever have to die for our faith, but here's the deal. We have to die to self to be faithful to Jesus. Whether it's temptation to greed, whether it's embarrassment, whatever it is. Let's join with them in that desire as we pray. Father, as we come to the table this morning, we thank You for Christ. And we worship Him. We acknowledge that He's our only hope, our only Savior. Thank You that He is our advocate with You. And Lord, as we come, we pray. And even by our hand motions right now, God, we demonstrate and say to You, we want to be faithful even to death. And we want to die every day to ourselves that we might live to Christ, that our lives might show who He is by how we think and act and talk. So, Father, make it so in our lives, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. And so, dear friends, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. This is the new life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us through the curtain by means of His death for us. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting Him. For our evil consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Won't you come to the table?